Mindfulness Discourse, Week 5, Q&A and Conclusions. In this segment, I will respond to a few questions that I had throughout the course and just make some general conclusions and add my thank yous. One of the topics I discussed very early in this series was this theory of last in, first out. And there were a couple of questions about that. I don't think I explained it as thoroughly as I could have. Last in, first out theory works on both a very personal basis, and also it's a concept that applies to all humans in terms of brain development. So on a personal level, if you're thinking about skill acquisition, like you just learned how to do something, you're learning how to do something in a controlled environment or with support and encouragement, you can do that thing. But as soon as you get very stressed or you're in a high-pressure situation or you didn't get a very good night's sleep and you had a terrible morning and spilled your coffee all over your clothes, that thing that you just learned, that you just started feeling competent, will probably not be a skill you can retrieve very easily if you're not in a great condition or supported environment. That last thing in, that last skill acquisition, is sort of the first to go if conditions are not optimal. So that's on a very personal note, and certainly we see this with children all of the time because their primary occupation is learning. They're always acquiring new skills, and they can slide backward very quickly if they are in a very high stress environment or they feel pressured or they're not getting enough sleep, they're not getting adequate nutrition, they don't feel safe and supported. Learning new skills can be really difficult because they just lose whatever they acquired if conditions are not optimal. If we talk about kind of like on a global level in terms of human development, the prefrontal cortex is the last region of the brain to have developed. So the more animal parts of our brain, the primal parts of our brain that respond to stimulus or stimuli in the environment, especially anything that makes us feel like we're in danger, those regions of the brain are firmly intact. And in a stressful situation, we're less likely to use more recently developed regions of the brain, like the prefrontal cortex, and more likely to just engage in fight or flight behavior when conditions aren't optimal, meaning we didn't get a lot of sleep, we're not getting adequate nutrition, we feel pressure, we feel real fear, or we're under constant stress, we can start to interpret feelings of fear or anxiety, even when they're not present in the environment, because we just develop a habit of reacting instead of responding. And in terms of mindfulness, mindfulness is about training and practicing use of that prefrontal cortex area of the brain, the area of the brain that's responsible for executive function, things like planning, organization, focusing, concentration, and keeping ourselves from reacting to distractions in our environment. That's all prefrontal cortex function, and that is the first to go because it's the last thing to have developed in terms of our human development. It's very easy to rely on other parts of our brain that kind of kick in without us even knowing it. But the argument for mindfulness is that by practicing with that prefrontal cortex, by practicing focus, and by practicing taking time to respond to something instead of a knee-jerk reaction, we can strengthen that area. And the more we do that, the less it will be a newly acquired skill, and the more we can rely on that. Another aspect of mindfulness that I had some questions about on the board and in personal messages is this idea of meditative spindling. I recorded those three sessions of mindful body, mindful breath, mindfulness, and sound. But the practice I use most often is meditative spindling. And I've thought quite a bit about how or where this falls into mindfulness practice. And I think it requires first a comfort and competency with spindling. That doesn't mean that using a drop spindle or a supported spindle means you're making fantastic yarn. That's not what I mean by competency. What I mean is that you're not in the learning stages. You're not still learning how to use a spindle. You know how to use a spindle. You have a level of confidence about it so that you can relax your body while you're doing it. Often when we're learning something, areas of our body are tensed up. But once we learn how to execute that skill, then we can relax areas of our body. So you could be making the most lumpy, bumpy, inconsistent yarn in the world, but if your body is relaxed and you feel confident and competent while you're doing it, that's the skill level that I'm talking about. It's never relaxing to learn a new thing, but a thing once learned can serve as an anchor. And I don't think this is limited at all to meditative spindling, but there's something very interesting, especially about a suspended spindle, that it can function very easily as an anchor. It even looks like an anchor. I use a Turkish spindle, and it looks very much like an anchor dropping to the ocean floor or the riverbed bottom. And so what I do in terms of mindful or meditative spindling is I select a fiber that's very easy to spin, quite consistent and smooth. I like to use pleasing colors of fiber because that gives my mind something to focus on. And I do much the same as I would for any other mindful practice. I think about my posture and I assume an alert but comfortable seated posture. And I work very slowly. I have a special bag and special fiber and a certain drop spindle that I use for this practice so that even looking at the bag and taking it out, I start to put myself in a mindful stance. I slow my breathing, and then I just get started spindling, and I try to keep my breath slow and even, and I just try to keep my mind concentrated on that spiral. And I will link to a little video about spirals and the significance of spinning from Renata Heller, who helped to found Fibercraft Studio in Chestnut Ridge, New York, where I took a series of sheep to shawl classes. And there's a lot of, in some ways it's spirituality, but there's also mindful practice integrated into a lot of the teachings at Fibercraft Studio. I took a lot from that, and I think this video is a good place to start in terms of getting some grounding with this idea of a spiral. I try to keep my mind from wandering to focus. It always wants to go and start working on some problem. That's where my mind automatically goes, my mind goes to the last stupid thing that I said and I wish I could take back. And I try to keep my mind from, you know, going in those directions by just whenever I sense that I'm working on a problem or worrying or planning, I just label that type of thinking behavior. So I say, oh, worrying. And as soon as I recognize that I'm worrying, I bring my focus and attention back to the color of the fiber that I'm spinning or the motion of the spindle as it whirls in the air or the weight of the spindle. And I just keep my mind very present until, of course, inevitably I realize that it's wandering away again. And then I just label that behavior. Oh, planning. Okay, we're going to bring our attention back to the spindle. For those who practice yoga and may have thought about like the chakras and color and things like that, there are all sorts of things you can do to associate the color of fiber that you may be spinning with certain chakras or body functions. You can think about just things that are associated with that color as just kind of a way to stay in the present moment and keep your mind from wandering in crazy directions. And you can also, I guess, as an advanced or more complex aspect of meditative spindling, you could have different things that you focus on. For example, if you're drop spindling, you're going to need to wind the spun fiber onto your spindle in some fashion. And so maybe when you're doing that, you could think about your breath or you could think about your posture. You could have different focus points associated with different aspects of the spindling. Sometimes I use a little timer app on my phone for a meditation that has chimes. So if I have 5 minutes for a spindling meditation or 10 minutes, I have those preset in the app. And so I'll get about a minute to sort of get myself organized and squared away, and then I'll hear a chime. And then about halfway through my practice, I'll hear a chime. And then I'll hear the final chime and know, okay, there's kind of a minute left for me to regroup and bring my practice to a conclusion. And so I think I have 5, 10, and 15 minute little practices preset on the app on my phone. And that's a very helpful way to just bring clarity to a meditative spindling practice and a little bit of focus. So I know how much time it's going to be, and I know that I can fit it in with other things in my day. If you're interested in trying meditative spindling, a few suggestions I have are to create a little bag or pouch for yourself that's you designate as specifically for that practice. It's amazing how much I attach the feelings I have, the physical sensations I have of mindfulness and mindful practice with the appearance of that bag. It's as soon as I'm drawing it out of my pocketbook, I start to feel calmness settle over me because I'm associating that bag with the practice. And it could also be helpful to have a specific fiber. I'm a very product-oriented person, and so just spinning this little bit and that little bit of fiber makes me feel kind of anxious. And so I purchase one pack of fiber prep specifically for meditative spindling. I spin all of the singles during meditative practice over a period of time, however long it takes me. And then when I'm done spinning that fiber, then I ply it, usually on my wheel. Although I think you could use meditative spindling for plying as well. And then I make that yarn. So I have, I guess, a cumulative representation or a representation of my cumulative product over time. And then I purchase another pack of fiber and work on spinning that. And I do focus on a fiber preparation that's very easy to spin, like truly mindless to spin. I would not be spinning fleece that I had washed and carded for this because I would be busy like picking out little bits and stressing about the veg matter. I would not be just focusing on mindful practice. I would be too busy doing something like that. So for me, it's very important to have a super easy fiber preparation. And color, I think, gives some variety and it also gives a point of focus. Finally, I think the spindle selection for meditative spindling is very important. It should be a really comfortable spindle that is lightweight. I think a lightweight spindle is a good idea because it doesn't fatigue you. And really, you shouldn't be feeling the ache of spindling as you're doing a meditative practice. There should be ease of use and you should have a great deal of comfort and familiarity with the spindle. So it may be worth trying some different spindles to see which one is going to work well. And I think a lightweight one is a good choice. Portability is also important to me. It will depend on your lifestyle and where you plan to do this meditative spindling. I mean, if you're doing it in a quiet corner of your home every morning and no one is going to bother you, you could use your super expensive Bosworth spindle, and that would be great because you just put it back in its corner and it's safe there all day. I really like to take my meditative spindling with me because I like to practice some sort of mindfulness for at least 5 minutes every day, and portability is really important. So what has worked for me is a Turtle-Made Turkish spindle, which I've talked about these on the podcast before, is printed on a 3D printer, very inexpensive and relatively indestructible. And if it does break, I can just, usually it's the shaft that's in danger. If it does break, I can just order a replacement and it's not a lot of out-of-pocket expense. And also with a Turkish spindle, you can remove the shaft and store it flat, and that is also a big bonus for portability. So I just have that little pouch with some fiber and my spindle. And into that pouch, I also can put some affirmations or a little quote or something that I can read at the start of my practice or the start and the finish of my practice. So sometimes I tuck little quotes or little post-its with positive and inspiring things written on them into that pouch. And then I can read them as part of my practice. Or if I'm in the middle of spindling and my mind is just completely wandering and it's the whole thing is starting to deteriorate, I can just pull one of those little post-its out of my bag and sort of hit the reset button a little bit on my practice and see if I can salvage the remainder of those minutes to relax my mind and to be in the present moment. One final thing that I tuck into that pouch with my fiber and my spindle and some affirmations is some scent. I've experimented with a little stick, kind of like a lip balm that I can rub on my pulse points. I've put a little lavender sachet into the bag. This is just another level or dimension of stimulation that encourages me to think about, okay, this is time now for mindfulness practice. The more senses I can engage, the more different types of anchors I have for my practice, and the more that helps me stay in the present moment. So some type of, you know, everyone has their scent attractions and aversions. So something that could signal you that this is time for mindfulness practice could be helpful in meditative spindling, as well as any area of your home or something you could take with you as a scent stimulation to help create that atmosphere that you need for focus. I hope those tips are helpful for you. If you're interested in meditative spindling, I encourage you to consider it as an option, especially if you have enjoyed spindling and you think that maybe this could be a good entry point into some mindfulness practice. In conclusion, the most helpful thing to me has been the warmth and the enthusiasm that you have shown over the weeks of the summer in listening to the content that I've recorded and providing feedback, suggestions, questions. It's been very helpful for me to think about, especially taking an online course. There hasn't been a lot of interactivity the same way there would be in a classroom. And so even though a lot of you are online friends only, I do feel a degree of familiarity with you, and I'm certainly very grateful for all of your help and your support and even your curiosity about this topic. Thank you so much. You can continue to contact me with any questions or feedback that you have about this recording. And I will be alerting other Yarns at Yinhu podcast listeners to the fact that this content is available. And I'll be thinking a long-term idea I have is to record a series of mindfulness, meditations or guided practices in a more professional recording environment, and maybe putting those out as a release. So it's a very distant, filmy idea in my mind, but it is something that I've considered, and I'd like to explore those possibilities in the future. Thank you so much.